you. Good afternoon or good morning to those of you on the West, and welcome to the Talking Freight Seminar Series. My name is Jennifer Simone, and I'll be moderating today's seminar. Today's topic is Future Transportation Options. Please be advised that today's seminar is being recorded. Today's presentation will be given by Tony First, Acting Associate Administrator for the Federal Highway Administration Office of Operations. In addition to serving as the Associate Administrator for Operations, Tony is also the Director for the Federal Highway Administration Office of Freight Management and Operations. In this capacity, he directs a multi-level staff which develops freight policy for the Federal Highway Administration, provides data analysis and decision support tools for transportation professionals evaluating freight projects, develops and promulgates professional capacity building programs and training for freight professionals, provides the truck size and weight program guidance and interpretation, and evaluates and promotes freight technology development for national and international deployment. Prior to joining the Federal Highway Administration, Tony held a range of positions in the Department of Transportation with the Maritime Administration as a program coordinator, the Office of the Secretary of Transportation's Office of Intermodalism as a regional coordinator for intermodal projects in the Northeastern states and California, and the Transportation Security Administration as the branch chief of Maritime Infrastructure Security Branch in the Maritime and Land Security Directorate. I'd now like to go over a few logistical details prior to starting the seminar. Today's seminar will last approximately 90 minutes, with about 60 minutes for the speakers and the final 30 minutes for audience question and answer. If during the presentations you think of a question, you can type it into the smaller text box underneath the chat area on the lower right side of your screen. Please make sure you're typing in the thin text box and not the large white area. Please also make sure you send your question to everyone. Tony will be unable to answer your question during the presentation, but I'll start off the question and answer session with the questions typed into the chat box. Once we get through all the questions that have been typed in, the operator will give you instructions on how to ask a question over the phone. If you think of a question after the seminar, you can send it to Tony directly, or I encourage you to use the Freight Planning Listserv. The listserv is an email list and a great forum for the distribution of information, as well as a place where you can post questions to find out what other subscribers have learned in the area of freight planning. If you haven't already joined the listserv, the web address at which you can register is provided on the slide on your screen. Finally, I'd like to remind you that the session is being recorded. A file containing the audio and the visual portion of the seminar will be posted to the Talking Freight website within the next week. We encourage you to direct others in your office that may have not been able to attend the seminar to access the recording. The PowerPoint presentation used during the seminar is available for download from the file download box in the lower right corner of your screen. The presentation will also be available online within the next week, and I'll notify all attendees of the availability of the PowerPoints, the recording, and a transcript of the seminar, as well as a podcast of the seminar. So we'll now go ahead and get started. Today's topic, for those of you who just joined us, is Future Transportation Options. Our presentation will be given by Tony First, Acting Associate Administrator for the Federal Highway Administration Office of Operations. As a reminder, if you have questions during the presentation, please type them into the chat box and they will be answered in the last 30 minutes of the seminar. So with that, Tony, I'll bring up your presentation and you can go ahead and get started.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good afternoon, everyone. I promise you I will not go 60 minutes in my presentation. We'll leave more time for questions, so hopefully we'll get done in about 20 minutes or so. Now, this is an informational discussion, really, on a number of service transportation options that are coming to the fore here as we move into the reauthorization cycle. Our interest here at the Federal Highways for Talking Freight is topical issues. We have a staff member here, Chip Millard, who is doing a whole lot of work on situational awareness, where he is running through a lot of the different periodicals and activities that are going on in the freight industry and compiling those into key trends and key issues that are advancing in the freight industry. From that, we want to start putting together Talking Freight seminars that kind of hit a lot of the hot current items. The one that we had originally intended for today was the impact of fuel prices on the supply chains. We were going to have someone talk to us about global supply chains. We were going to get presentations from national shippers and carriers on how fuel prices were impacting their supply movements. And then we were going to have state DOTs talk about what that means as far as a lot of their investment decisions are made. Unfortunately, we weren't able to pull that together. We couldn't get all of the different people that we wanted for the type of quality presentation that we wanted, so we have decided to shift that to October. But it is our desire to keep these interesting and relevant, and if you have any input, please ideas or topics that you think we should be bringing to the fore here in Talking Freight. So that kind of leads us to today's topic. I don't want to replicate by any stretch of the imagination the length of the presidential campaign on this, as the reauthorization is still over a year away or possibly more, depending upon who you want to listen to. But there are some general track lines that are being laid down regarding how the next highway bill should be approached. So what I'd like to do is kind of go over a couple of key concept pieces, the USDOT piece and the commission piece. And as the field gets more populated with more proposals coming forward, we can potentially revisit these as we go forward into the reauthorization cycle. Rest assured, we will be tracking all of the different proposals as they come forward for reauthorization for the service bill over the next year or next 2 years. So if you have any interest in those regards, then we'll be able to provide you information on that. Next slide. This is what I'm going to be going over today. These are the three that we'll go over. Before I get started, I strongly suggest to those of you that have not already done so to read these particular proposals. The GAO proposal, or the GAO report, actually, you can get from their website, I'm sure. USDOT's Vision for the Future, you can download from the DOT website. The commission report is available, again, as the commission's website. We can get all of those to you. I don't know if we have those readily available. We'll make sure that those get to everybody and are available for people as we move forward. So the next slide. GAO's reauthorization principles. GAO has done a whole host of research, studies, analyses, et cetera, et cetera, that resulted in a number of recommendations to Congress, and these are the four that you see on the slides here. To define the federal role based on identified areas of national interest and goals, the first step really is to ID the areas of national interest, and then to specify particular goals and objectives that are outcome-based to deal with those areas of national interest. Incorporate performance and accountability into funding decisions. Again, this is to substitute specific performance measures for current federal procedural requirements and make them more outcome-oriented. It would include either incentives or penalty provisions to hold the grantees accountable for the types of activities that they are pursuing. To employ the best tools and approaches to improve results and returns on investment. Funding is constrained. This idea is to move forward more with a bang for the buck. To look at economic analyses, to look at benefit-cost analyses, post-project evaluation, better utilize existing infrastructure, greater tool flexibility, including the idea of tolling and pricing. GAO has kind of laid out this reauthorization principle as a key way to better target resources that we have out there to improve the efficiency of the transportation system. And finally, to ensure fiscal sustainability. This will make, it'll take a sustained effort to improve the transportation infrastructure that we have, as the CMT report clearly demonstrates and a number of the other documents put out by ASHTO and other agencies have clearly demonstrated. And the funding sources need to be able to support that activity. So those kind of four guiding principles were part of what GAO has been recommending to Congress for a number of years. But recently, Congress asked them to go ahead and take a look at the existing reauthorization proposals, restructuring proposals, and kind of condense and distill from all of those key themes and key elements. And so that's exactly what they did. So we should be on the slide that says themes identified. GAO went through seven different stakeholder restructuring proposals. They went through ASHTO's A New Vision for the 21st Century. They went through ARTBA's New Vision and Mission for America's Federal Surface Transportation Program. They looked at the Bipartisan Policy Center National Transportation Policy Project. They looked at Brookings Institute. They looked at the National Surface Transportation Infrastructure Financing Commission, which we'll look at a little bit more later on. They looked at the National Surface Transportation Policy and Revenue Study Commission, which put out some of its early information recently. And then they took a look at the Transportation for America campaign, Making Transportation Work for America in the 21st Century. There will be more of these type of restructuring proposals coming out probably in the not-too-distant future, and we'll kind of keep tabs on all of those and crosswalk them as they go. So of those seven proposals, these are kind of the five key themes that have emerged that the GAO identified in the reauthorization proposals. One through four are directly linked to what GAO proposed as its guiding principles. And so what they saw in the reauthorization proposals was to define the federal role in freight goods and movement. Now, this is a little bit more refined than what the GAO has been recommending before, which is simply to define a more broad federal role. These kind of all focused on the idea of freight goods and movement as being a key responsibility for the federal government along the lines of the importance of interstate commerce. All of them echo performance and accountability into transportation programs to ensure that projects that receive funding result in commensurate public benefits. Better management of the assets to efficient use of life cycle management strategies, and multiple funding sources to ensure the long-term sustainability of the programs. The interesting piece that came out of the seven proposals that GAO looked at was this linkage of policy and funding to environment and energy. Given transportation's contributions to greenhouse gas emissions and concern about energy security, a number of the proposals coming out have decided that there needs to be a linkage between our environmental policies and our energy policies, and a number of them actually have talked about a linkage between that and trade policy as well. If we are going to open up free trade agreements with a lot of countries across the planet, and that trade is coming to our shores, then we need to link our transportation policy to that trade policy as well. So with that, let's go ahead as a backdrop and look at the department's proposal on refocus, reform, and renew. And from that, there are basically six major themes that come out of the department's proposal that has been put on the web. A clearer and more focused federal role. Again, this is reflective of what GAO has talked about and what a number of other proposals have geared themselves toward. And this proposal focuses most of the federal formula funding on areas of greatest federal interest, particularly transportation safety, the interstate highway system, plus other highway facilities of national interest, and major metropolitan areas. It provides an awful lot of discretionary grant funding to support multi-state corridor projects, bottleneck projects, projects of national or regional significance, and innovative metropolitan responses to urban congestion. It then goes to data and technology-driven approach to safety. The proposal strengthens the effectiveness and efficiency of surface transportation safety programs by emphasizing the importance of risk-based data and technology-driven approaches that recognize the diversity of safety challenges across the United States. In other words, rather than try and target safety dollars toward particular programs, you let the data and you let the technology decide for you what the most important themes are and where they need to be focused. More rational investment decisions. Now, this kind of goes to the idea that we need to be using performance measures and benefit cost analyses, again, along the lines of what GAO has already indicated. It asks the states and the metropolitan areas to set performance goals and document progress toward meeting them. It offers a potential for additional federal grant funds to high-performing grant recipients, and it utilizes benefit-cost analyses for projects receiving substantial federal support. The increased state and municipal flexibility consolidates a whole host of programs that have been, the 108 the Commission identifies, down into a much smaller group of programs, and then gives the states and the metropolitan regions the flexibility to use those program dollars in a way that they think is the most appropriate. And then the last one there is the more efficient and effective environmental stewardship, ways to more effectively utilize the current environmental regulations, not to, to sidestep any of them by any stretch of the imagination, but to streamline how those are applied. Transportation projects are requiring state and metropolitan grant recipients to set and track progress toward environmental performance goals and create a pilot program under which participating states and metro areas are required to meet federally designated performance targets in exchange for which they will receive substantial regulatory relief and a clear mandate to consider impacts other than those to historic properties and parkland when selecting a transportation alternative. The core programs in the Department's activities are the ones that you see here. Basically, the Federal Interest Highways, Metropolitan Mobility, Mobility Enhancement, and the Highway Safety Improvement Programs. What they have not done within the DOT's proposal is identify particular dollars. What they have done is created a pie chart that says, depending on what Congress decides and what the President decides they want to spend on the surface transportation program in the next reauthorization, certain percentages of the fund should be allocated to particular areas. The largest percentage goes to the Federal Interest Highways. It's about 45% or so. Metro Mobility gets about 33%. Mobility Enhancement gets about 5%. Highway Safety Improvement gets about 5%. And then 12% goes to all of the other activities there, Federal Lands, Highways, Transit, Modal Administrations, Research, TIFIA, and the like. We go to the freight implications. A lot of the activities that you see for Federal Interest Highways and Metropolitan Mobility are all performance-based. The intent is that the benefits that accrue from all of those performance enhancements and the way that you base the entire program on performance activities, the benefits will accrue to freight as well as to the passenger carrying public. So there is no particular freight role or freight program within the DOT's proposal. We will go through Federal Interest Highways, Metropolitan Mobility, the Motor Carrier Safety Grant Program, and the TIFIA reform kind of individually along with the rest area one. But when we get to enhanced access to private activity bonds, what it does is it basically takes the cap off. Currently, there's a $15 billion cap on the private activity bonds. This proposal removes that cap completely, so there is no cap, and expands the use of private activity bonds to rehabbing existing infrastructure or to enhancing existing infrastructure, which currently is limited. There is an enhanced flexibility on state infrastructure banks. Currently, you can only capitalize with 10% of program funds. This will allow you to capitalize with up to 100% of the Federal Interest Highway funds with a 20% state match. And when we get into more of a discussion of the Metropolitan Mobility, Metropolitan Transportation Boards that will be handling those funds could also be created into Metropolitan Mobility Banks, which would require a 50% match. So basically, you can put all of your money into these state or Metropolitan Mobility Infrastructure Banks. And as the loans are repaid, the recycled funds that come back into the system or back into the bank are no longer constrained by Title 23 or Title 49. Those constraints are removed, and that money can then be spent on any transportation projects unconstrained by Titles 23 or 49. And then tolls and direct pricing. It provides the authority to toll or price any federal aid highway that is eligible to receive funds under FIH or the Metropolitan Mobility Fees. The Federal Interest Highway Program, key aspects. The investment is focused on interstate systems and other nationally significant transportation assets. It's an 80% formula and 20% discretionary funding. So out of the 45% that would be allocated, and roughly 45% would be allocated to FIH, then 80% of that 45% would be distributed based on formula, and 20% would be reserved by the department as a discretionary funding source. For the formula share, it would be an 80-20 match. When it's outside of a metropolitan area, when it's within a metropolitan area, it goes to a 50-50 match, which is what is required in the Metropolitan Mobility part of it. Any discretionary dollars that are allocated to projects on Federal Interest Highways have to have a 50-50 match. So the discretionary piece, if you recall in Safety Lou, there was a program on projects of national or regional significance. And that piece of legislation required us to put forward regulations to go ahead and implement that project or that program, actually, should the next reauthorization bill decide that they're going to fund it. We have done all of that. We have had two different notices of proposed rulemaking where we solicited input from everybody. We have now gotten that into the final rule. It is cleared departmental clearance. It is now with OMB. They have it, I think, probably for another 30 or 45 days, and then if they need to, they can extend that for an additional 30 days. But we hope to have the final rule for projects of national regional significance on the street of course, depending upon how quickly OMB can get back to us by the end of this calendar year. That will help frame a lot of how we can get the discretionary program funding put in place. If you read through what the department's proposal has, you will see that there's an awful lot of compatibility between that and what was originally in the PNR's legislative language. So we may have a couple of those pieces of the puzzle already in place and ready to go. There is a focus on performance, congestion, pavement, quality, and safety. DOT sets these performance goals, or actually they set the performance areas, such as travel time reliability, safety, pavement quality, and the like. And they specify the quantifiable measures that will be used to quantify these performance areas. And then it lets the state set the targets. The targets have to be ambitious. There's no point in lowballing the targets because it's going to have an effect upon what type of discretionary funding would be awarded. And the ways that the states can meet those performance measures are left entirely to the states. There are a number of different strategies that states could pursue in order to meet the performance requirements, and all of that discretion is left entirely to them. But there will be an annual documentation of progress toward the goals, and all of that annual documentation will be published, again, on an annual basis for everyone to take a look at. Benefit cost analysis for projects over $25 million. Again, this is only for formula funds. So if it's formula funds that you're using and the project is over $25 million, benefit cost analysis is required for any proposals that come to us for discretionary funds. It would require benefit cost analysis. And then the public-private partnership piece, this applies to all federal aid projects, whether or not they're formula or discretionary. If it's over $250 million, then you have to assess the conventional funding mechanism in relationship to a public-private partnership way of funding the project, and then take a look at the benefit cost as a result of all of that. It's a key piece of how you can decide how you're going to move forward with how you're going to fund the project. On the Metropolitan Mobility Program, you'll see an awful lot of comparability to the FIH program. The investment in metropolitan areas with populations over 500,000 people. I would be managed by a regionally designated Metropolitan Transportation Board, which would be almost analogous to the MPOs that we currently have in place. Highway and transit funding is no longer separated, so they would be free to take the funds that are allocated to them in the Metropolitan Mobility Program and decide which way they want to go with that, either highway or transit, would not be constrained. 70% of that, 33% or thereabouts, would be distributed via a formula, and the other 30% would be reserved by the department for a discretionary program along the lines of the urban partnership agreements that we have now. This one is a 50-50 match requirement. Again, performance focus along the same lines as what you saw in the FIH program. The department would go ahead and set the performance areas, and then it would be entirely up to the individual states on how they got there, or the metropolitan regions on how they got there. And the same would be true for the benefit cost analysis piece and the public-private partnership comparison for all of those over $250 million. There are a number of other ones that deal with freight activity that would be of interest to us. I think the motor carrier safety one is interesting. It consolidates 10 separate grant programs into one and increases the flexibility, a single set of matching requirements. The authorities for FMCSA to use the grant funds for contracts and support of national program activities, as you can see there. There would be a uniform and administrative takedown amount for all grant programs. And this basically provides an awful lot of flexibility. Again, one of the keystones of this is to provide the recipient of the funds more flexibility to target the funds in areas that they think are most effective and most efficient for them to do so. Transportation Infrastructure Finance and Innovation Act, the TIFIA Act, the repayment flexibility on a case-by-case. I don't need to read through all of these. You can see them here. But there is some expansion within TIFIA that enables you to be more flexible in how you want to do this. It allows direct pricing and guarantees and lines of credit greater than what they currently are under the current TIFIA program. The Rest Area Quality Improvement Pilot Program. As you all know, there are a number of rest areas on the interstate system, and they are constrained right now in what they can provide to the traveling public. This will create a pilot program in 10 states that will allow them to go ahead and open those up for private sector franchises to go ahead and enhance the rest areas and provide a full suite of activities and services to the traveling public, and hopefully would provide some improvements in truck parking facilities as well. Moving now to the Commission's report. Again, the Commission kind of echoes a lot of the things that you heard in the GAO report on how they want to see a stronger federal role, improved effectiveness and accountability for investments, the investment strategy's targeted performance outcomes. It really is interesting as you start to read through all of these. These themes keep recurring and I think are definitely milestones that everybody needs to pay attention to and think through if we were to have a performance-based system and we were to use operational performance measures and safety performance measures, how exactly we would do that and how they would play a role in project selection and the like. The next slide talks about the national interest areas, the focus areas that the Commission has identified. Again, in this one, they identify a particular freight transportation piece of this. But you'll see directly underneath that the improved metropolitan mobility, the congestion relief piece there, which is very analogous to what the department has put forward for metropolitan mobility. Saving Lives, the National Safety Mobility Program, again, is analogous to what the department has put forward in its Highway Safety Improvement Program. And if you look at the freight transportation piece and kind of read through it, there's an awful lot of compatibility with the Federal Interest Highway Program that the department has put forward. So a lot of the key building blocks that you see here within the national interest and 10 focus areas are also reflected in the department's proposal going forward. Here's a freight focus on this one, as you can see. And here are a number of freight focuses we identified. The rationale for a lot of this is a refocus on the importance of the federal government paying attention to interstate commerce. That seems to be the driving rationale behind the way the Commission has structured this. That is the national interest as far as they're concerned, and we should be focusing our attentions and focusing our funds, particularly in that area. They also talk quite a bit about corridor development within the Commission's report, and that is along the lines of what the Department is currently doing with the Corridors of the Future program. We have been in negotiations with six different corridors. A lot of the activities are reaching conclusion as we put together the corridor development agreements. Those development agreements highlight kind of three major areas. One is on performance measures for the entire corridor, where the states would agree on what those performance measures should be. So again, that is very reflective of what you see in a lot of the other proposals. It talks about a way to prioritize projects within those corridors. That prioritization methodology is left entirely to the states. They are free to go ahead and decide how to do that, but again, a lot of the benefit-cost pieces that you see articulated in the department's proposal, the commission's proposal, and what GAO has recommended, you would see reflected in those development agreements as well. And then the idea of innovative finance. You would find different ways to fund these types of transportation projects that would be other than the Highway Trust Fund as a sole source of funding these types of projects, or as a major source of funding these types of projects.